Okay, good. That's the second part, right? I don't need a mic if we're not going to record. I don't think, anyway. But this way, I don't have to talk as loud. Okay, so you guys caught the line, right? What does penitent mean? Humble before God. Easy. You guys are awesome. You guys got it. Right, and so when we're talking about penitent, I don't want you to think about penitence. That's different, okay? Penitence is actually trying to work your sin off. So the whole point of Jesus coming, dying a horrible death on the cross, was so that you could actually have full forgiveness for your sins, so that you would not have to work it off. Because there is no way to work off your sin. It's impossible. Because it just keeps going bigger and bigger. And you could do little things, but I mean, just if you really think about it, how does that nullify your sin? You just sinned against God. What you need is the antidote to the poison, right? Not doing some sort of whatever it is. You actually need Jesus to nullify your sin. Nothing you do can nullify it, okay? So, it's not penitence. We are not working off our sin. Jesus worked it off already on the cross. Our job at this point, we're introducing what we do. Our job is to accept God's free gift of salvation. Okay, so we talked about this last week, and again, I don't want to get into it too much. We talked about God's free gift of salvation, that was part of God's mission to us, to offer us salvation because we couldn't get to him, so he came to us to save us. And so this is a free gift for us. It doesn't come with, like, as long as you do this, this, and this, and this, then you can have this gift of salvation. That's not the way it works. It is a free gift. And so today, we're starting, well, how do we accept that free gift? How do we actually go, okay, yes, I want this, right? Because there is some conditions, is there not? Like, you actually have to accept it for one thing, right? You have to say, yes, I want it. But what does it take to say that, to come to God and go, like, I want you, and I want you to be Lord of my life. I want to follow you. I believe that your design for life is the best design, and I want to fit into that. That's kind of what we're saying when we say yes to God. Okay, so the first step is, and I really like that they made this the first step in the movie, is actually humility. It's coming before God with humility. And what does that look like? Well, humility before God, I really like the clip in this, is that he had to kneel, right? It's this kind of universal sign of humility, or this is whoever you're bowing to is kind of above you, right? And so it's this idea that he drops to his knees in the clip because he's like penitent. Oh, that's humility. That's humble. We humble ourselves before God. And a great imagery for that is falling on your knees, because knees is this sign of surrender, right? You're on your knees. So if you're in a war and you see the white flag and a whole bunch of guys are on their knees, are they charging? Are they gearing up for another assault? No, they're giving up, right? They're surrendering. And so that is the picture. So the first step in receiving God's free gift is to actually humble yourself, because you actually can't receive it if you don't humble yourself, right? Because a proud person doesn't want a free gift. So in order to even accept this, the first thing you have to do is do it through humility. And in what is not in the movie, of course, is part of this humility is repentance. So for the person coming before God, it's repentance. It's going, like, I've been living this way, and now I want to live this way. So this is what repentance is. If I was walking this way and I repented, I would now walk this way. Right? It's 100. Sorry, I was going like this. That's weird. You're like, oh. It's like a 180 degree turn. So you're going this way. To repent means you go the opposite way. So what this looks like for us is that we're going our own way, right? We're just going, no, I'm going my way. And you repent of, when you repent of that, you turn and you walk God's way. Okay, so that's this idea of penitence, the penitent man, the humble person. All right, so one of the what I was kind of thinking of, there's so many stories about this in the Bible, and I'm like, what's the best one? And this is the story, and it's a very familiar story for most of you guys. Maybe for some of you it's new, but I'm not going to assume that that everybody knows it like really well, so it might be new for some of you. But it's called the Prodigal Son. Now, you've probably heard this lots. If you've grown up in the church, you've probably heard this story lots. If you haven't grown up in the church, I know lots of you guys haven't, you probably have heard it at some point because it's one of the most famous stories in the Bible, and it's called The Prodigal Son. There's whole movies, like Hollywood, it's not just Christian movies, like Hollywood has movies under this whole idea of the prodigal son. All right, so if you guys got your Bibles, did everybody grab a Bible when they came in? Yeah, awesome. If you didn't, is there any more at the back there, Karina, or are they all gone? Okay, so we're going to turn to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse 11, and it's on page 628, if you're not sure where Luke is. And Luke is one of the Gospels, and this is Jesus teaching. And this is actually one parable with three parts, and we're just going to pick it up on the three parts. He's talking about lost things, okay? And so his last kind of part to this big three-part parable is a lost son. All right, so verse 11, chapter 15. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed and to divide his wealth between his sons. Okay, so this is first of all, we don't get this. This was written to people that this would have been horribly offensive to. And so try to understand, this is like the younger son going to his dad and saying, I want you to be dead so that I can take what you have. I want the money, right? And as the younger son, he would only get a third of the inheritance. The older son would get two-thirds. Okay, so he didn't get as much. But this is, like, he's not a very nice son. Okay, so the picture is he's rebellious. He hates his father. Okay, so right off the bat, I want us to know who the father is. So who is the father in this story? God, yeah. The father represents God in this story. And who is the son representative of? Us, yes. And some of us more than others, right? In fact, what you'll find in this story is that you have parts of this younger son and the older son in all of us. All right, let's keep going. I don't want to give it away too soon. So his father agreed. So this is tough for a father to do. And some might think, oh, that's a bad father. Why would he do that? But we know who our God is. He is generous, right? He is a generous God. And so this is what he did. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved into to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. Sounds good. You can picture it any way you want. But wild living is just like, he was like, woo. It's like, this is the image that I'm thinking of. It's like, he's just, all right, let's go. He's going to the strip clubs. He's going, you know, he's going everywhere. He's just being a bad dude. Like, he's just doing stuff he shouldn't be doing. He's, you know, he's probably drinking his face off. And of course, if it was in today's, he's probably doing drugs and all that other kind of stuff. But he's just whooping it up, right? He's experiencing everything. He's like, yeah. So you guys, I just blew your conception of what the prodigal son was. All right, let's keep going. About the time his money ran out, uh-oh, that's no good, right? Something bad's going to happen. A famine. What's a famine? No food. Right. So, about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. How many of you have been really starving at any point? 3-hour famine. Yeah, there you go. We were actually starving on purpose, right? Yeah, when you're hungry, man, that's all you can think about is food, right? So let's see what he does. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. Okay, so we need to understand, again, a little bit of cultural stuff here. The Jews believe that that pigs are unclean. And so what's happening here is Jesus is giving us the lowest of low jobs for a young Jewish boy. Okay, so he's gone from great wealth, the son of a very wealthy man. Yes, he was the youngest son, and yet, but he still had lots of affluence. They were wealthy. He's gone to, and then he partied it all out, right? And eventually his money runs out, and now he's at the lowest of low, He's at the lowest of lows. This is what Jesus is trying to get across. He is hit. You guys heard the term rock bottom? No? Well, you have now. It means he's at the lowest of lows. He's feeding pigs. So what's he going to do? The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs started looking good to him. But, so he wanted to eat the pig slop, okay? That's how hungry he was. I can't even imagine being that hungry. That must be hungry. But no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare. And here, I am dying of hunger." Okay, so he's starting to realize some things, right? He comes to his senses. That's a very important line. He comes to his senses. He's starting to realize something. He's starting to see life for what it really is. Okay, when we start to understand the way God is and who God is, we start to actually be able to see life for what it actually is. And so he's starting to see himself for what he is. And he's starting to realize what he left. "I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me as your hired servant.'" Okay, so he's like, how in the world am I going to get back? My dad is probably going to hate me. He's probably going to be like, I just took his money. I took my whole inheritance and wasted it. It's gone. What is my dad going to think? What is he going to do? What would your dad do? If you went up to him and said, "Yo, dad, can you die? Because I'd like to get your money." Yeah, there you go. It's not a common response for a dad to go like, "Oh, okay, Bella, here you go. Like, here's your money. There we go again." Right? That's not how most human dads work. Right? We'd have to have a sit-down chat. Right? What's going on here? Okay? This father who, because he's the God character in this, God knows the future and we don't. All right? Makes a little bit of a difference. But, so he's thinking, he's got this speech. Have you guys ever thought when you did something really wrong and you're just kind of rehearsing what you need to tell God? Have you ever done that? Yeah? Okay, yeah, even better. Okay, this may be better. What, you got to you're rehearsing what you're going to tell your mom or dad. Okay? How am I going to tell them I did this? This is not going to be good. Right? Have you guys done that? I've done that. I've done that to talk to my wife, right? Going like, "Oh, man. That was dumb." Yeah. No, that was actually a really good one. yeah, but I've done that too. And I remember as a kid, man, I did this so much. And anyway, I lied my face off to my dad continually. It was awful. But anyway, let's continue. "I will go home to my father and say," so this is his planned speech, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." Is that true? Yes, totally, right? He totally squandered everything. He's not worthy to be called this guy's son. This guy's a good dude, obviously, because he gave him the money. I mean, what kind of guy does that? That has to be a really generous and awesome dude. All right, let's keep going. "Please take me on as your hired servant." So he returned to his father. What's his father going to do? That's one possibility. Get this, okay? This is crazy, you guys. So he returned to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Okay, this is cool, you guys. This isn't just in there for nothing. This is to show us that the father was waiting for his son. He was watching for him. It doesn't say how long he was gone, but it does give us this impression that it was a lot of money that he had, and so it probably took him a little while to spend it all. Okay, but his father is waiting. He sees him from far off, right? This isn't supposed to be a coincidence or some kind of luck. Again, we're getting a picture of who God is. He's watching for his son. Day after day after day, he's watching and waiting. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. What's his father filled with? Love and compassion. Is this not cool? I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about this story. Are you kidding me? I'm a dad, okay? I got four kids. Man, if, I don't know, that would be so hard. And yet, I can understand the father's heart because I can never stop loving my kids. Doesn't matter what they do. I can't even imagine not loving them. And so, but I'm looking at this father and going like, wow, this is incredible. So what is he going to do? So his son said to him, So he ran to his son, embraced him. That's why the talk is called The Embrace of God. And kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven. So here's the speech, right? He's been rehearsing it. And I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. So what do you think the father's going to respond to that? Is he going to say that? Well, yeah, duh, right? No, well, let's see what he says. But the father said to the servant, so he didn't even respond to the son. This is what he does. His son tells him he's not worthy. He turns without answering his son because he already embraced him and kissed him, right? He turns and he goes to the servants. He's got like, woo! It says? No, that's our paraphrase. There you go. But his father says to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, right? T-bones for everybody. And what does he say? Why does he say we're going to feast like this? For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Is this not a cool story, you guys? This is a story about God and us. This is the story. We don't deserve God's love. We are not worthy of his love. We have sinned. We have drank the poison, if you want to go with that, with our Indiana Jones stuff. And we've pushed him away. We've tried to live our own lives. And yet, even at that point, if you humble yourself and you come to God, how is God going to respond? Embrace and kiss, right? An embrace and a kiss. It's like, no, you're my son. He didn't even respond to the whole servant thing. Does that not blow your mind? I mean, I could maybe use another hired hand, right? It's like, oh, hold on a second. This is interesting. Didn't even consider it, right? He's like, you're not one of my servants. You're my son. So it's really interesting that the son's behavior does not nullify the fact that he's a son, right? Is that not cool, you guys? Because I think we get into this trap sometimes. We think that we've done so many bad things, or how can God possibly love us? We just feel like God's always disappointed in us, and it's just this constant thing. This is when we need to remember this story. So important. That is not how God feels about us. That is not how he receives us when you come to him. When you come to him and you humble yourself, he embraces you. Yes, we're not worthy, but this is a God who embraces us anyway and says, nah, come on, you're my daughter. You're my son. This is where you belong. Isn't that cool, you guys? It's so awesome. What a story. What an incredible God this is. All right, so let's keep going because the story is not over. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. It was interesting. Nobody told him that there was a party, so he somehow missed the invite. The evite didn't get to him, right? So what is he going to do? So he comes in. He asks the servants, what's going on? Your brother is back, he was told, and your father has killed the fattened calf. We're celebrating because it's safe return. So the older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father, okay, again, this is God, came out and begged him. Okay, so we need to stop for a second. With the older son, who does the older son represent? It represents us, but specifically in this story, it's representing the religious people. Okay, these are the people that claim to love God, right? They're religious. They do all the right stuff. And they're angry because God has embraced people that don't deserve his love. But the problem is, with that thinking, is that none of us deserve his love, right? We're all like the prodigal son, including this son, the older son. He doesn't deserve God's love because he stayed at home and done all the good work, right? So you don't deserve God's love because you've gone to church and you've gone to youth group and you've done all the right stuff and you know you're a really good in your small group and you answer all the questions and right? And, or you go to school and you do nice things and you try to be a nice person. This is not what is going on here. This is the person that has done all these things being angry because someone who's walked away from God or has disobeyed God and doesn't deserve his love, it's very obvious, has come to him and God has given him his love anyway. And so this son is jealous. This religious person is jealous. His father came out and begged him. Begged him, right? This is God. He's begging the religious person, don't be like this. Because it's about belonging to God. It's about being in relationship with God, right? That's the whole idea of the mission of God we talked about last week. All these years I've slaved for you and you never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. That sounds pretty, I don't know if he's exaggerating here, right? It seems like, really? Not once? Man, you've lived such a hard life, this rich young son, right? When this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fattened calf. So it's a charge against the father. And this is the religious person's charge against God. How can you love someone like that? How can you embrace somebody who's disobeyed you and squandered their life? How can you do that? And the response of God is this. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me and everything I have is yours, right? The son has forgotten that, so what if he didn't even get a goat? All of it belongs to him. Like everything the father owns at this point belongs to this older son, right? That's his inheritance because the younger son already got his. Everything that's there, the fattened calf included, right? It's all going to be the son's. And yet he can't see that. All he can see is the fact that the dad gave a party and a cow and some T-bone steak to this kid. Right? Isn't that crazy? We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Is that not like one of the best stories in the Bible, you guys? Isn't it so good? Right? It just outs us, right? We're like the prodigal son and we're like the older son. So we're like, oh, that guy doesn't deserve it. I should. We get like that, right? That's the older son. And then we do bad stuff ourselves and then we're like, oh, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve God's love. How can God love me? We're both sons. But that's not who God is. God is not that kind of father that he goes like, yeah, you suck. Or yes, you're so good and religious. You're awesome. He's not like that. See, whatever person needs to do in order to receive God's good gift of salvation, it starts with humbling yourself, right? Only the penitent man shall pass. Humbling yourself, understanding you're not worthy of God's grace, and yet accepting it because he's offering it with his embrace. So that's the embrace of God, you guys. That's the God that we serve. So we're going to go to our small groups now. We're going to continue this discussion. There's a couple passages. One of them's from Philippians. And in the end of Philippians, so I just want to, guys, just hold on a second before we go. At the end of the Philippians passage, I think it's verse 11, it talks about that every single knee will bow before Jesus at some point. Okay, so I want to prepare you for this discussion because that is not a very culturally accepted thought, that it doesn't matter what you do or how much you hate God, that everyone's going to stand before Jesus, who's the judge, and every single person is going to bow their knee. Because we just don't get it. We don't get how awesome and great God is. And so hopefully this story gives us a little better picture of who God is, this incredible, generous God that just loves us so much. And it's not because of your behavior. It's not because you're a good person. It's not because you're religious. Or it's not God's love. He's not withholding his love from you somehow because you're so bad that you can somehow out-sin God's grace. It's impossible. Okay, God's grace is infinite. And so the first step in coming to God is to humble yourself. All right, let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, I pray for these students. They are amazing. Thank you, Lord, for this story. It is just unbelievable. It is so cool to know that this is the kind of God that we come to. That when we've messed up, that you receive us with an embrace and a kiss. And Lord, when we get all proud of ourselves because somehow we've done all the right things, that you just take us aside and that you beg us, Lord, to go, no, it's not the way it is. That we are not worthy of your love, and yet you just give it to us. And anyway, it's just amazing. And so, Lord, help us to identify those two sons that are at war with each of us. And Father, I pray that we would understand who you are in a different light. Every single person here, Lord, would see you differently today because of this incredible story that you have, that you told. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you be with our students in their discussion. Give our groups good discussions and our leaders great wisdom and patience and all the good stuff that they need to have a good small group. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.